Suribusha asks everyone to begin with engendering the awakening mind, bodhicitta, that is to say, the wish and effort one does in order to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings in number vast as space. Towards that end, one resolves to listen to, reflect and meditate on the teachings energetically.
Then it dandang to dand the children to gin to some so by the castle, it dand the children. Yanin to the castle.
So it's very important to practice the Dharma, having the opportunity to do so, having gathered together all favorable conditions for the practice of the Dharma.
Then dand the children to the carres and all, dand the children to the
So, practice of the sacred Dharma is an antidote or a remedial force for mental confusion which causes suffering or the suffering of mental confusion. If one well develops in listening to the Dharma, reflecting upon its meaning, and taking up the ensuing understanding in the practice of the Dharma, then one will be able to pacify confusion and suffering. If, on the other hand, one doesn't practice the Dharma, however much one strives to accomplish peace and happiness, or happiness and comfort, one will not be able to do so. One will in no way be able to attain ultimate happiness. In dependence upon one's striving, maybe suffering will ensue rather than happiness.
Tene same jen trunan dan dunga denbar madu se na tene dami to bhira yona trunan dunga de jan.
If one develops wisdom realizing selflessness, one is able to pacify confusion and suffering, since both these have no true existence. So generally speaking, the Dharma is very vast. Today's teaching is then concerned with a small portion of these vast teachings, namely the 37 practices of a Bodhisattva.
So
So we have come to verse number 5, which is as follows. It is a practice of bodhisattvas to abandon negative friends who, when associated with, increase the three poisons, cause the activities of listening, reflecting, and meditating to deteriorate, and make love and compassion non-existent. So, in this verse, it is advised that male and female bodhisattvas on the path are to give up negative friends or avoid negative friends when engaging in the activities of a bodhisattva. So a negative friend is someone who then, when associated with, increase the three mental poisons and causes the activities of listening, reflecting, and meditating to deteriorate and make love and compassion non-existent. A person who, when associated with, brings about such results is a negative friend. On the other hand, if one is a practitioner of great power and wisdom, one might be able to change the frame of mind of a negative friend and establish that friend in the Dharma. In that case, obviously, this friend is not to be given up, if one has such an ability. Whereas if one doesn't have great power or wisdom and is influenced by a negative friend, if this negative friend is more powerful than oneself, in that case, he or she is to be given up or avoided. The next verse is as follows. It is a practice of bodhisattvas to hold more dearly than their own bodies the holy spiritual friend, who, when relied upon, causes the exhaustion of faults and causes good qualities to increase like the waxing moon. So here it is advised that one or a male and male or female bodhisattva on the path should hold their spiritual friend more dear than their own body. So one may then wonder what type of qualities such a spiritual friend should have. Well, the text mentions that a spiritual friend should then cause the exhaustion of one's fault and cause good qualities to increase like the waxing moon. So next verse is as follows. The mighty sage said that the sufferings of the lower realms, very hard to bear, are the result of evil deeds. Therefore, it is a practice of bodhisattvas never to commit evil deeds even at the cost of their lives. Oh dear, I'm so sorry. This is the wrong one. I have written them in this order. The verse is then as follows. Who could be protected by a worldly deity who was also fettered in the prison of samsara? Therefore, it is a practice of bodhisattvas to go for refuge in the rare and supreme ones who are an undeceiving refuge. So one of the main practices of a bodhisattva is to go for refuge in the three rare and supreme ones, or the three jewels, who are an undeceiving refuge. So the text mentions that worldly gods or deities such as Indra, Vishnu, Brahma and so forth cannot afford refuge. Therefore, it is a practice of a bodhisattva to go for refuge in the three jewels. So worldly gods or deities cannot afford refuge since they themselves are fettered in the prison of samsara, since they themselves are bound by afflictions and suffering. Therefore, in terms of the Buddhist tradition, the taking of refuge in the three jewels is, so to speak, the foundation of the path. So when one takes refuge, that taking of refuge has to be based on a firm conviction of that samsara or cyclic existence is of a changing nature and is of In terms of the Buddhist tradition, then, when the Buddha turned the wheel of the Dharma for the first time, he started out by teaching the Four Noble Truths. The first of these is the truth of suffering. The reason for teaching that truth first is that if beings or practitioners do not have an understanding of that samsara or cyclic existence is of the nature of suffering, they will not develop a desire for freeing themselves from samsara or cyclic existence. There will be no renunciation if there is no understanding of that samsara is of the nature of suffering.
Mm-hmm. 이마치나 타바데니 들로디 기도고요 말에 디세나양 되는 건데
Similarly, one will not be able to give rise to desire to free oneself from samsara or cyclic existence if one in the first place hasn't understood that samsara is of the nature of suffering. Without that understanding, a mind bent on attaining liberation will not arise. Similarly, in terms of the Mahayana or the greater vehicle, regarding the teachings on bodhicitta, the awakening mind, one first, before taking the associated vows, has to generate love and compassion for beings. The generation of such love and compassion, the generation of such love and compassion for beings then depends upon whether or not one has understood that samsara is of the nature of suffering. If one has not understood in the first place that samsara is of the nature of suffering, then it will be difficult for one to give rise to love and compassion for beings that suffer in samsara.
So, a good
progressive approach to the teachings or for a practitioner is to start out generating an understanding of that samsara is of the nature of suffering, then one should proceed to develop a desire to attain liberation, the desire to free oneself from samsara. Sumpa di kandu sum sum. Tarpa dönyo gilo di kye ne tene.
Ya bu di chi simbe jinsu tene da me bata tongba ni chu hye chu ni ne tene koren ya bu yung.
Then one proceeds to listen to teachings on selflessness, emptiness, and so forth. A progressive approach in the order mentioned is then a very good approach. Now we have come to verse number 8, which is as follows. The mighty sage said that the sufferings of the lower realms, very hard to bear, are the result of evil deeds. Therefore, it is a practice of bodhisattvas never to commit evil deeds, even at the cost of their lives. So here in this verse it is taught that one of the main practices of a bodhisattva is never to commit any evil deeds, even at the cost of one's life.
Nyerva yeda tundru sumji dunga nam te dekpa lejin rewa tupe song te da tani jo meba dan ki meba le sunga yamare le song dunga te tani samba dan wam so la so pa la chenpa nam di jan seba mare dekpa lejin rewa yinba ti se na dekpa tunga
Changpa
da wang chu ni kan tu song song. Changpa da wang so
ki jan dong an sepa ma de wang So the reason for why a bodhisattva should never commit any evil deeds, even at the cost of her or his life, is that evil deeds result in rebirth in the low realms. One will come to experience the sufferings of the low realms. The three low realms are then those of hell, the hells, the preta realm and animals, the sufferings in these realms are then very hard to bear, and as was said, the result of evil deeds. Therefore, a bodhisattva is to avoid such activity at any cost. The sufferings then experienced in these realms, as was said, are the result of evil deeds. The case is not that gods such as Brahma, Indra, and so forth created these sufferings. It is the outcome of one's evil deeds.
Tene chetan tanda geva tan dikpa laya yewa mambu yore te mandawa mambu yore te dor dona tene sem zambo kunong ke sem zambo samba zambo yona lunga ke sawata so geva yungre sem nemba yona lunga ke sawa zambo ndawo yona yang dikpa yungsi.
Then in terms of virtue and non-virtue, there are many different divisions, many different types. In brief, Rinpoche says that if there is goodness of mind, then naturally one's verbal and physical activities will be virtuous, whereas if one is filled with negativity, if one's mind is filled with negativity, then one's physical and verbal activities will be non-virtuous.
Tena yena pindo ka sambatang, sambatang yinji gomba so tsuhu semtika jiri.
So, one of the main things is to develop a mind bent on benefiting others. One should strive to develop love and compassion for others.
Sisom dewa tsatsi serpa yin, yuetan yeti yuti kikin yin, nanya mundu, tsu gomba nchu.
The next verse is as follows. The happiness of the three realms, like dew on a blade of grass, is characterized by evaporating in a moment. Therefore, it's a practice of bodhisattvas to strive for the supreme state of immutable liberation. So one main practice of bodhisattvas is then to strive for the supreme state of immutable liberation.
Tarpa donyer siji de karre sana sipan kamson korbe dongala kyote kyowa yite korbe dongale tene tanduje lodebuga.
So, having become wearied with the suffering of the three realms, one then proceeds to develop a mind bent on attaining immutable liberation. If one, for example, practices the Dharma, desiring happiness, comfort, fame, and so forth, one is not a true practitioner. One is then to seek supreme unchanging liberation, since if such liberation is achieved, tene de topna
re tarpa tona tarpa le nyam sin jowa me pare na me jor me yim se na ton de nyer go
then that state is unchanging.
Re ena tan jon roba de kar sana sipa som je deva re sipa som je deva te tenin jurbe chuchin jön bu me ba yita ne kap tan ji in se na tele kinja zo jo ma
so as
sipa deva ton de ni ni ma re
So as was said, one should strive for unchanging or immutable liberation, since the happiness of the three realms is something unstable and of a changing nature. The example given is then dew on a blade of grass that evaporates in a moment. So whatever happiness one comes to achieve or experience within the three realms, that happiness is similar to happiness dreamt of. The moment one wakes up, it's gone. Then, since liberation or nirvana is unchanging, one should strive for it. Then the next verse is as follows. What is the use of one's own happiness if mothers who has been kind to one since beginningless time suffer? Therefore, it's a practice of bodhisattvas to generate bodhicitta in order to free limitless sentient beings. So one of the main practices of a bodhisattva is then to engender bodhicitta, the awakening mind, that then amounts to resolving to work for the benefit of beings, to free limitless sentient beings. Sentient beings are then very numerous. The analogy or example of space has been given in order to give an idea of the great number of beings that there are. So one may at that point then wonder what is the reason for engendering bodhicitta, the awakening mind, saying that if there is an acceptable reason for doing so, I will try to engender bodhicitta, whereas if there is no acceptable reason for doing so, I will not try to engender bodhicitta. The reason for, the reason is given above. It says at the beginning of the verse, there is a question which is as follows. What is the use of one's own happiness if mothers who has been kind to one since beginningless time suffer? So in that sentence, the reason for why it is acceptable or something to strive for to engender bodhicitta has been given. So the Buddha himself has said that there is not a single sentient being that has not been either one's father or mother at one point or another, in one life or another. And there is no sentient being that at one point or another hasn't been a relative or a friend of one. So it's very good to give rise to a firm belief in the validity of this statement of the Buddha, thinking that in fact there is not a single sentient being that hasn't been my mother in one life or another.
Dunga ma lu da den do le song
The next verse is as follows. All suffering arises from wanting happiness for oneself, whereas the perfect Buddhas are born from the intention to benefit others. Therefore, it's a practice of bodhisattvas to fully exchange their own happiness for the suffering of others. So, here again, one of the main practices of bodhisattvas is given. It's one of the better ones, Rinpoche says, namely to fully exchange one's own happiness for the suffering of others. So the reason for doing so is given above, namely that all suffering arises from wanting happiness for oneself. Innumerable beings suffer in various ways. All this suffering, without exception, originates with the desire of personal happiness only, whereas the perfect Buddhas are born from the intention to benefit others. For that reason, or for these reasons, then, one should fully exchange one's own happiness for the suffering of others. So, in relation to this verse, the practice of giving and taking is very good to do, Rinpoche says. The practice mainly amounts to taking upon oneself the suffering of others and giving all beings one's own happiness, virtue, and so forth. So that practice is described in a text called Seven Points of Mind Training. It has been translated into English, and Rinpoche says probably many of you have already read it. If you haven't, he advises you to read it. If one applies oneself to, for example, such a text or practice, one should then again and again read the text, then reflect upon its meaning, and again apply what one has understood in the practice of meditation. If one does so, then the one's practice will become more and more powerful, or more and more efficient.
So then, do you want to dig more? Tamtien chokam chodun yodhiyo, yudan longju tuso yewana, tenamo vajya seda.
Then, the next verse is as follows. Even if someone out of great desire steals all one's wealth or engages another to steal it away, it is a practice of bodhisattvas to dedicate to that person their body, enjoyments, and virtues of the three times.
So Not all Babu Tinida, Mova Jago. Then there were Mova Jatona, then just a San Jose Benjamin.
So, one of the main practices, one of the most important practices of a bodhisattva is then described in this verse. Namely, if a person then out of great desire steals away all one's possessions or asks someone else to do so, at that point it is a practice of a bodhisattva to dedicate to that very person his or her body, enjoyments, and virtue accumulated throughout the three aspects of time. So many male and female bodhisattvas in Tibet that this would have happened to, they would have had all their possessions stolen away, for example, by robbers. Later on, it happened in certain cases that they got their things back, and at that point they wouldn't take them back, because when they were stolen from them, they dedicated at that point their body enjoyments and so forth. Therefore, they did not take them back, even if they could have them back. So one's possessions are not wasted if one in this way makes a dedication when they are stolen. In fact, that dedication results in the accumulation of merit. So bodhisattvas are very skillful, as we can see. They, out of great love and compassion for others, make such a dedication when their possessions are stolen away. And that dedication then results in the accumulation of merit. For that reason, bodhisattvas are very skillful. So the next verse is as follows. Even if someone cuts one's head off when not having the slightest fault, it is a practice of bodhisattvas to, out of compassion, take upon themselves the evil of that person. So, as was said, a bodhisattva then, who the kavane so even if someone cuts one's head off or cuts the head off of a bodhisattva when not having the slightest fault, that bodhisattva should not or will not react with anger or aggression. At that point, a bodhisattva, out of compassion, will take upon him or herself the evil of that person.
tendra wo teni nyamin zo to pa yina yinda karan la no pa se pa ta go che pa ta go che pa la so ben ba kan de ji se na de le tin de tin so na pe re yer ma to de ku le sa lo yer ma re so na de so
Independence upon such activity, namely to take upon oneself the evil of a person that, for example, cuts one's head off or harms one in any other way, independence upon that, taking upon oneself the evil of that person, one accumulates great merit, or the Bodhisattva accumulates great merit.
Mm-hmm. Jam Petani, Mama, but Tunkana to Kaleka with Kajetan, Tunkana, to Yami Abuchon.
So, in Tibet, after the Chinese invasion, many people were put in prison. Many of these imprisoned individuals then would practice in the prison.
The Tenet Tunkana, which in a Sanjis and Basaman, the Yami Abuchon.
So even if a bodhisattva, male or female, is in prison, he or she is able to develop their practice. So we will recite this last verse together. From the beginning, from the first verse.
I give the Lord
Amen.
So one focuses on all sentient beings and develops the desire or the wish that all these sentient beings may be free of suffering. Having developed that wish or desire, one then rests within that frame of mind.
Yeah.